Let's now turn our direction to Lord's Day 33. Lord's Day 33 of the Heidelberg Catechism. We're in the third and final section of the Catechism that focuses on our gratitude. And really, today is about the nature of our good works, the nature of what it means to be a Christian. Before we get into the specifics of the Ten Commandments, what does it mean to be a Christian? All right, so let's begin in in question answer 88. In how many things does true repentance or conversion consist? In two things: the dying of the old man and the making alive of the new. What is the dying of the old man? Heartfelt sorrow for sin, causing us to hate and turn from it always more and more. What is the making alive of the new man? Heartfelt joy in God through Christ, causing us to take delight. What are good works? To his glory, and not such as rests on our own opinion or the commandments of men. Congregation, what is the evidence that someone is truly converted? What is the evidence that you are today a Christian? The Catechism simply and succinctly to the point answers this. There are two growing realities in the life of the true Christian. There is sincere sorrow and there is sincere joy. Now, in the life of the Christian, it's sometimes both. It's sometimes more one more than the other. But it is comforting to know that the Christian life isn't all about sorrow, but neither is the Christian life defined as all about joy. The Christian life is about responding to who God is, who Christ is. Right? And that's where we find our sincerity, because sincerity means to be genuine. It means to be honest. It doesn't mean, instead of, as opposed to being fake, as opposed to putting up a front. We're not creating our own sense of sorrow. We're not mustering up our own sense of joy. Rather, we are responding to something. Responding to God, responding to Christ. As Christians, we are responding to who God is, and the right response when we are confronted with the holiness of God is to acknowledge our sin. And as Christians, we hate our sin. Before we were Christians, we were fine with it. We didn't lose sleep over it. We didn't wrestle with it. We didn't have anything like that. The only reason why we have sorrow as unbelievers is because we have to suffer the consequence for it. Because I have to get pulled over by police, or I have to suffer time in jail, or X, Y, and Z reasons like that. But as Christians, we hate our sin because we love the God who saved us. We know how destructive our sin is to us. We know how destructive our sin is to the ones we love, our neighbors, our loved ones. And we come to realize again and again that we shouldn't live this way. We can't continue on this sin that we keep harboring or we keep going back to. But the Bible says that if we have a godly sorrow, it leads to salvation. Why? Because this sense of sorrow leads us to Christ. And because it leads us to Christ, our response ultimately, at the end of the day, is joy. Because if indeed you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, even though the old hangs on. But you're not defined by the old nature. You're not defined by your past or your present sins. You're defined by who Christ says you are. Who Christ says you are. And thanks be to God that He does not leave us to ourselves, because He gives us His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who dwells in us. And because the Spirit dwells in us, He will outlast and overcome and overpower our sinful hearts. And he does this through the Word. As Paul says, we are able to rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. Yes, your sin is great, and it's actually much worse than you think. But God's mercy is greater. So then walk in the joy of your salvation. Now, joy doesn't have to be an expression of enthusiasm, jumping up and down all the time. Joy can be a quiet confidence, even when the world is shouting at you to fear. You remember what Jesus says, "Fear not, for I have overcome the world." You are sincerely joyful because you are glad to know that you are accepted as God's child. If you are in Christ, God sees you as His beloved child who refuses to quit on you until you are brought home to be with Him. The cost of God's love is high. And as we mature in our faith, we're going to increasingly recognize the high price God paid to save us. It required the precious blood of His only begotten Son. But hear me when I say this to you, brothers and sisters, the Father does not regret the sacrifice He made to bring you to His family. The Son does not regret paying the high cost of your sin with His own blood. And the Holy Spirit reminds you of His unfailing love. There is no pressure that we will lose our salvation if we are not good enough. We already know we're not good enough to begin with. But the love of the Father and the Son will quicken us unto good works. And the Catechism rightly says that our good works are not guided by our imagination. It's not guided by our society's approval that is constantly changing, but by the unchanging moral law of God. If our aim is to be more like Christ and to love God and neighbor, then we must focus our attention on God's law. Psalm 19 says, and I'm concluding with this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Amen. Amen.